Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah.
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind mailbag. I almost said it was Saturday. It's not. Today is listener mail. If you have never gotten in touch with us before, why not give it a try? You can reach us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. Whatever you want to send is fine. We always appreciate feedback to recent episodes or series on the show, especially if you have something interesting you would like to add to a topic we've talked about. And we have some messages of exactly that sort today. Let's see, Rob, do you mind if I kick things off with this message from Emil?
Oh, by all means. This is a good one.
So this is in response to our series on diamonds, specifically the episode about whether diamonds or diamond powder are poisonous if ingested. Emil says, "Hi, greetings from Emil from in Norway, former victim of beaver shout." Now, Rob, does this mean that this same listener got in touch before to tell us about drinking a beaver-based liquor?
I believe that might be the case. I can do a quick search and see. Yes, I can confirm. We have we've heard from a few different Emils over the years here, I'm sure. But yes, this would be the same individual who wrote in about beaver shout.
This is liquor infused, I believe, with glands from a beaver.
Yes.
Okay, Emil says, "Regarding your episodes on diamonds, I would like to add a thought on the subject of their purported dangers to the human intestines. In my work as a dentist, I use diamond-coated burrs and drills for most routine procedures. It's well known that these instruments will dull greatly over time due to the abrasive diamonds dislodging from the instrument's surface. Of course, we try to minimize any swallowing of the contaminated coolant water spray, but it is inevitable that a few of these diamonds are inadvertently ingested by the patient. Also worth mentioning is that these micro diamonds are specifically designed with sharpness in mind. This is probably of no consequence due to the minuscule amounts, but I think that this is something that was probably considered at some point in the manufacturing process, since medical instruments go through some of the most rigorous safety trials before entering the market. Fingers crossed, I have not caused too many gastrointestinally derived deaths in my career. As always, thank you for your fantastic work. Best regards, Emil." Well, thanks, Emil, for the message. This is a great point about diamond powder and diamond coatings being used in dental equipment. In fact, this is something I had read mentioned in, I think, at least one of the sources we talked about, but it never came up in the episode. But yeah, it does seem that diamonds are used for coating on drill bits and stuff, and also in polishing pastes that could end up in people's mouths and be swallowed. And I would assume that there's some kind of research to determine that they could be used safely in the dentistry context, where, you know, it is likely that patients will end up swallowing them. So I did a quick search for materials on these on this subject, and I found a handful of industrial chemical safety data sheets put out by companies that sell diamond powder products, especially in the dentistry context. There is some variation, but most of the hazard indications say that diamond powders are considered an abrasive, that they may cause irritation to skin or eyes, or if inhaled, but that they are not considered acutely toxic. One of them listed diamond powder as non-hazardous to health, but still recommended contacting a doctor or poison control center immediately if swallowed, which seemed contradictory. So I don't know, maybe just like out of an abundance of caution, some of these sheets will say that about anything that you swallow. But unfortunately, after reading a bunch of these, like industrial product safety sheets, the impression I'm left with is the same as the impression I had before reading them, which is that modern sources, even those with skin in the game, on the whole suggest there's really not much to worry about from ingesting diamond powder, but I still don't know what the direct evidence is to support the belief that they're safe. And, you know, I couldn't find anything saying like, you know, here's the study that shows, you know, you feed rats diamond powder and they're fine.
Right. But I guess to future-proof things, in case some sort of a weird pseudoscientific fad comes along, don't consume diamond dust. Just don't do it.
Right.
Like we've been saying, there's you can avoid this problem entirely.
I certainly wouldn't consume it on purpose. But at the same time, based on everything I've read there, I can't detect that there's likely anything to worry about from the occasional piece of a dental drill, you know, coming off microscopically and you end up swallowing it by accident.
Exactly. All right. We also heard from Steve on this subject. Steve writes in and says, hello, Robert and Joe. In your recent series about diamonds, you examined a very old question, is diamond poisonous? Though there is no evidence the material is chemically toxic, you wisely recommend against ingesting it. I know many people who work with all kinds of fiberglass filler, like Bondo, the dust from which can become airborne and get stuck in the lungs. It's not good when that happens. Even though pure diamond powder is not chemically toxic, it is quite sharp and unlikely to disintegrate. If one were to inhale this product in the process of handling it repeatedly, assuming it was not mixed into a paste or other medium to prevent inhalation, which of course reminds us of stuff we talked about with you know, cracking diamonds using some sort of a paste or even goat's blood potentially. But he continues, the mechanical damage it would reap upon lung tissue is not pleasant to ponder. In all probability, inhaled diamond dust would lacerate lung tissue, causing internal bleeding, basically diamond silicosis. There is no cure for silicosis, only symptom/pain mitigation measures. I found one study that explored the use of diamond dust in conjunction with cobalt, which is chemically toxic, and it seems to focus on the chemical dangers posed by cobalt. It does not provide decisive information on the danger or dangers of having diamond dust in one's lungs by itself. That said, no one should try to give themselves a case of diamond lung. No bueno. Thank you for your commitment to placing contemporary science in a variety of historic, esoteric, macabre contexts. The podcast is wonderful. Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Even if diamond powder is not known to be toxic in a particular context, probably you just, you know, prima facie does not seem like it would be a good idea to breathe a lot of dust, airborne diamond particles. Especially since you just don't want to be breathing a lot of, you know, tiny pulverized rock particles of any kind, as far as I'm aware. Okay, on the subject of rat kings, Chris got in touch to say, good day, I wanted to add one more rat king to the collection. The incredible D&D show Dimension 20 has a season taking place in New York City, and one of the boss enemies was a hive-minded rat king living in the sewers. Search Dimension 20 Rat King should have its artwork as the first result. Best wishes, Chris. I don't know this show, but I did look it up, and I like the artwork. It is rats all bunched together in the shape of sort of a big dinosaur wearing a crown. So yeah. Thumbs up. Search results also produced other strange looking things, apparently from the same show, including Pizza Rat and something called Sexy Rat.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to search for that third one, but this does look cool. I'm not familiar with the show either, but I'll have to ask some of my fellow Dungeons & Dragons players in my Dungeons & Dragons group, because I think a few of them follow some of these shows, and I hear great things about them. Mm. All right, this next one comes to us from Megan. This is a response to one of our October episodes about shadows. Megan writes, "Hey guys, I'm a few months behind in the podcast and recently listened to your Where the Shadows Lie episodes. I wanted to drop you a note about the children's fantasy book series, Seventh Tower by Garth Nix, that prominently features some magical shadows. The premise is that the only known population of humanity lives in a vast castle under a permanently darkened sky, and the chosen among them are magic users that are ranked by the colors of the rainbow. When they're of age, the chosen travel to a parallel world of strange and dangerous creatures, and each captures a creature that replaces their natural shadow back in their home world. These spirit shadows become magical servants made of a sort of solid, mutable shadow substance that can protect or attack humans and other spirit shadows. Later in the series, we meet another population of humans who scorn and fear those who have changed shadows. The story reminds me of your discussion of mythical wizards who were said to lose their natural shadows to the devil in exchange for great powers and who could be identified by the uncanniness of their shadows. Anyway, my son and I are finding the series a great read, and I won't go into more details that spoil the mystery of the plot. Thanks for all you do, Megan." You know, I don't think I am familiar with this particular author and work, but I'm going to have to look into this one because my son consumes a lot of books of this nature, and this one looks like it could be really fun. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Okay, I think we should do a couple of messages about Weird House Cinema. I'm going to start with this message from Lee, who has written in a bunch of times before. Lee says, "Hello, Rob, Joe, and JJ. Just listened to the Apple Weird House episode. I waited until after watching. All I can say is, wow, definitely weird. Anyway, wanted to know your thoughts regarding the BIM acronym. Now, we talked about this a lot in the episode, how the movie just starts assaulting you with the term BIM. The very first song is all about the subject of BIM, how BIM is on the way, and maybe it's the only way, but there's no previous explanation for what BIM is. Lee is giving the answer here. Lee says it is an acronym for Boogaloo International Music. The head of this company is named Mr. Boogaloo.
Yeah. This was hard for me to reflect on because having seen the movie before, I don't remember what kind of confusion I had initially. But at some point I picked up on this and went into rewatching it knowing this already. But to your point, like they don't really do anything to establish this.
No, and certainly not in, I think they do maybe say it later in the movie, but like I didn't realize what BIM meant until I like went to the Wikipedia page for the movie and it specified that BIM was the acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Lee's message goes on. While it's pretty easy to get from viewing the film, front and center on the building exterior prior to the atrium scenes, if you happened to not view the film, maybe not. Boogaloo music was referenced late in the episode, but otherwise no mention of it. Just curious if this was an oversight or intentional omission. Lee, I don't quite know how to answer that, but I think as we discussed a bit in the episode, I did want to help the listener occupy that state of confusion that I felt while watching the movie and not knowing what BIM meant, which I was a pleasing state of confusion to be in. You know, like it kind of took the magic away when I saw that what it stood for.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about so many of these films. It's like when there is accidental mystery in a film, it creates room for the imagination to fill in the blanks. And I often enjoy that.
Now, another thing that happens in The Apple is that later in the film, we get a couple of totally out of nowhere characters, both played by the actor Joss Ackland. Mm-hmm. In one sense, he plays a sort of wizard-like hippie cult leader. I don't know about cult. He's the hippie, the leader of the hippie group, the hippies who live in the cave underneath the bridge. And then he also plays God, who shows up at the end to rescue everyone.
A.K.A. Mr. Big.
Mr. Tops.
Mr. Tops, right, not Mr. Big. Mr. Tops.
Not yes. Bird Eye Gordon.
We just recorded our episode, our latest Weird House episode, so I've got Bird Eye Gordon on the brain. Sorry.
Okay, anyway, with this in mind, Lee's message goes on. Also, throwing back many episodes, would Joss Ackland be a candidate for Tom Bombadil?
Absolutely. He would have made a good Tom Bombadil, now that you mention it.
A wonderful suggestion.
Yeah, great singing voice. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can just hear it in his voice now. The hey, don't marry doll. Let's see, you know, his blue his jacket is and his boots are yellow. He's a merry fellow. Some kind of verse about Fatty Lumpkin the pony. This is a great suggestion, Lee. Lee says, Ackland was cast as Perone in Evita, so he's a baritone. Just a thought. Love the podcast and the weekly Weird House Dose. Sincerely, Lee. Thank you, Lee. Excellent piece of listener mail.
All right, this next one comes to us from another Rob. Rob says, hi, Robert and Joe. While listening to this Weird House Cinema episode, I could not stop thinking about Devo and the Energy Dome hats. Is BIM a stand-in for Whippet? Perhaps the apple is a cautionary tale to Mark Mothersbaugh and the rest of Devo about the risk of making a deal with Satan. For me, this added another layer of craziness to what was already a pretty wild movie. Have a great day, guys. Rob.
Now, I like the frequency Rob is on here, but I'm not quite sure I understand. You know more about Devo than I do, I think, Rob. Can you decode for me?
Well, I mean, I'm not a super Devo fan. I appreciate Devo. I did own an Energy Dome hat for a spell. But an official one, mind you. But Devo's energy is weird and wonderful, and you know, it's not unrelated to the Apple, you know. Those Energy Dome hats would have fit well in the costuming that we see in the Apple.
I agree. You can just imagine people in Mr. Boogaloo's apartment, like the hanging out with the lawyers and stuff, wearing those hats.
Absolutely. I will say real quick, I don't think we've watched a film that was scored by Mark Mothersbaugh on Weird House Cinema, but he is frequently someone whose work I admire in more recent contemporary films because he works a lot and he contributes compositions to all sorts of TV and film projects. And on more than one occasion, I've been like, oh, this sounds pretty good. Who did this? And then I'll, you know, pull out my phone, go to IMDb. And of course, it's Mark Mothersbaugh. So not surprising at all.
He did. I'm just looking at his filmography on his wiki. Apparently, he did the theme to the 1991 Super Mario World TV show.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all winners in this filmography. He works a lot, but like one that comes up is Thor Ragnarok. And I remember that was one specifically. I was watching Thor Ragnarok, which I greatly enjoyed. About halfway through rewatching it with my son right now. He had not seen it before. Great all around. But yeah, there are moments in that where initially I was like, yeah, this music's pretty great. And I've got to look up who's behind it. And yeah, it's Mark.
Ooh, though I just saw he apparently did music for, I forgot this existed, the like roughly year 2000 live action Rocky and Bullwinkle movie starring Rene Russo as Natasha and Jason Alexander as Boris. Looks like it also had Robert De Niro and Randy Quaid.
All right. I had kind of forgotten that this existed. I might have dismissed it as a dream, but now I know.
Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
All right. Maybe there's something there. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and call this episode, but we'd love to hear from you. If you have thoughts on past, present, and future episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind or Weird House Cinema or anything in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind feed, write in. We'd love to hear from you. If you have just general feedback, you know, what sort of episodes you'd like to hear. If you have feedbacks on anything from like advertising to I don't know what. This is the best way to get in touch with us is to email us with your thoughts, your comments, your feedback, your criticism, whatever it happens to be. We're happy to hear from you. Just a reminder that Listener Mail airs on Mondays, core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, short form on Wednesday, and on Fridays we set aside most serious concerns to just talk about a weird movie on Weird House Cinema.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.